We're continuing on with our theme of the year, learning how to kneel, to sit, to stand, to walk, to run. And recently we've been studying some messages with that theme of learning how to stand. And I want to preach to you here from this passage of Scripture, and we'll look to several other Scriptures this morning as well. But in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 25, the Bible says this, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Turn with me over to the Gospel of Mark. In Matthew, turn over just one book to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 24. We see here a parallel passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 3 and verse 24. The Bible says, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." That's the title of the message, "A House Divided Cannot Stand." A house divided cannot stand. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be in church this morning. Spirit of God, we ask you to work in our hearts, work in our spirit, convince us of the truth of your word, convict us of sin, convince us of righteousness. Father, we ask you to be a help today to our homes. You can do far better than I can at affecting change in people's lives. And Father, may your word this morning, may it stir us and convict us and help our homes to be better places. Help our relationships and our marriages and all those family relationships to be stronger and to be united. Help us, please, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If you were to look to history, you see as kingdoms are divided, they will not stand. You get division amongst leadership or division amongst direction, it doesn't stand. We see it even in the Bible with the nation of Israel. We think of the brothers Rehoboam and Jeroboam. The house began to be divided and the house did not stand. A kingdom began to be divided and a kingdom did not stand. Unity is so important. As we search through the Bible, we see that God wants there to be unity. God wants there to be unity in our churches. God wants there to be unity in our homes. God wants there to be unity in our marriages. Husbands and wives are taught to be as one, right? Man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. One. They are to become one. And husbands and wives need to be as one. A husband and wife divided cannot stand. Homes divided cannot stand. Turn with me to a few passages of Scripture this morning. And again, it's not a fancy message. It'll be very simple. But we want to show you some passages of Scripture this morning that I believe will help us with this thought. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. It's Satan that wants to divide our homes. It is Satan that wants to divide our marriages. It's Satan that wants to divide relationships and hinder relationships and keep us. Listen, if Satan can divide husbands and wives, the Bible tells in Peter that their prayers will be hindered. God's blessings will be hindered. It's so important that there be unity in our homes and unity in our marriages and unity in our relationships. A house divided cannot stand. Over here in the book of 1 Peter, we'll look to chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's read there verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." The Bible even gives proposes there in that verse that if a wife is a Christian, she is saved and she has an unsaved husband. Even her submission to her husband can be used to help win that husband to Christ. And so I think it's vital You know, sometimes we've known people over the years that maybe perhaps a wife is saved and the husband is not. And maybe the husband has wanted to have certain things and not let her do this and so on. And I've had to maybe say to them, well, you need to listen to your husband. You know, if you have a husband that he's not saved and, you know, he doesn't want to let you want to come back to church on Sunday night. And he doesn't want to let you come back to church. He's very limited in what he wants to let you do. I think in that situation, you should submit to your husband. You should submit to your husband. A house divided cannot stand. Satan wants to divide. Satan wants to destroy. Look down further into verse number 5. He said in verse 1 that wives should be in subjection to their husbands. Verse 5 says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God," again, holy women, godly women, because they trusted God, "adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands." God gives a challenge there to wives to be in submission to their husbands. But then he says to husbands, "Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." You're to honor them. "Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life." God made a woman that they are a very special and a very valuable piece of china. They are a very valuable thing that men are not to treat lightly. Men are not to be rough with them. Men are not to abuse them. Men are to honor them and love them. It says in verse number 8, "Finally, be all of what? Two minds." No, it doesn't say that. "Finally, be all of one mind." Too often there's two different minds, two different directions, two different hearts. God wants us to be of one mind. "Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Are we always even as courteous in our homes as we ought to be? You think here in this chapter he was speaking to the relationship of husbands and wives. Are we courteous? Are we sometimes more courteous with someone at work than we are courteous to people in our own home? Ouch. Sometimes people can be in a workplace and they'll be very courteous to that man or to that woman. Are we courteous to our family? Are we courteous to our husband? Are we courteous to our wife? He says in verse 9, "not rendering evil for evil." In other words, you're not returning evil for evil. What if you know, that husband says something he should not say? You know, we're all prone. What if your wife goes and says something she shouldn't say, or somebody does something that hurts you or offends you, and it hurts your spirit? We can be good at that sometimes. But he says, not rendering evil for evil. You don't return evil for evil. The Bible teaches us to return good for evil. It says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. Railing is specifically talking about in relation to the words that we would use, not insult for insult. You know, they insult something about you and your family, so you go and insult your mother-in-law just because you want to see her get mad. We're not to be insulting like that with our words. It says, but contrariwise, blessing. We should return blessing. "Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." Refrain your tongue. Keep your tongue. You got to guard your tongue. You want to say something, put a lock on it. You know, teach kids sometimes, you know, zip it up. You know, sometimes we've got to zip it up and not say those things. We're ready to say something. We'd want to say something. We got upset. Don't say it. Don't say it. Refrain your lips, the Bible says. That'll help. That'll help our homes to be with one mind and one heart. That'll help our homes to be united. He says, let him eschew or hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Listen, I want my home to be a place where there is righteousness. I want my home to be a place where God looks and he sees that I'm responding the way that he wants me to respond. We should want our homes to be a place where you as a wife are responding and you're reacting and you're submitting and you're doing those things the way that God would want you to do them. our reaction, our response, and so many things, and how we love one another, and how we treat one another. Is it in a way that God will look down and say, that is a righteous home. I'm going to bless them. I am going to bless that home. All of us should desire that and want that. But for that to be true, our homes need to be as one. Husbands and wives need to be as one. Parents and children in our relationship, we need to be as one. Families need to be as one. One mind, one heart, and so on. Let's not be divided in our homes. Turn with me, if you would, back to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and let's read there verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament, verse number 18. We see in 1 Peter that husbands are to love and honor their wife. Wives are to submit unto their husband. We're to treat each other with kindly and respectfully and courteously and not return evil for evil, but to return blessing for even when someone has done us wrong. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18 says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what? Being filled with the Spirit of God makes such a difference in our lives. It makes such a difference in our homes because, you know what? If we're walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, living as the Spirit of God wants us to live, you know what it means we're not doing then? We're not walking in the flesh. We're either often walking in the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit. Listen, I need to walk in the Spirit because if I walk in my flesh and react and respond and do the things that my flesh wants to do, you know what? I will have a divided home. I will have a divided marriage. You can't help. The flesh doesn't bring us together. Walking in the flesh, in our flesh nature, in our sinful nature, I will react and respond in ways that will cause anger and hurt and division. We need to walk in the Spirit. So important we be filled with the Spirit of God and then walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and so on. Down in verse number 21, he tells this to husbands and wives. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. Mutual submission. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Sometimes people might say, well, what's marriage? It's a 50-50 proposition. It needs to be a fair shake. 50-50. I don't believe that at all. I think marriage is a 100-100 proposition. 100%, 100%. Each of us is to give ourselves completely, regardless of what the other would do. We are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. We are to serve our husbands or serve our wives. We're to serve one another. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, he says, as unto the Lord. You say, I'm not sure if I got a good husband as I wish I had. Well, you submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is a subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow, that's a challenge. To love our wives as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There's nothing selfish about that kind of love. That is a sacrificial love. That is a giving love. That is a love that gives everything for our wives. Husbands, love your wives. If you know what, I guarantee you that if a husband would love their wife as Christ loved the church, it would be easier for that wife to submit unto her husband as unto the Lord. Listen, where there are things that each of us are to do. We're to submit ourselves one to another. Husbands are challenged to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Is your love something that is always, putting it yourself first? Or do you always just want from your wife, what's she going to do for me? How's she going to help me? We're not supposed to be in it for what they're going to do for me. You're to be in it for what can I do for them? How can I serve them? How can I help them? Love your wives. Wives, submit unto your husband. We're to love. We're to submit. We're to submit to one another. When we do that, you know, it'll help our homes to be as one. A house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Look with me just back a page, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see a couple verses here that make a big difference in us having a godly home. having a home that God can bless, a home that's united. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, he says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Be ye angry and sin not. You know, there are some times you might get angry, but what does God tell you? Sin not. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what that means? Don't go to bed at night angry and upset at your husband. Don't go to bed at night angry and upset at your wife. Don't go to bed at night where you've got some anger, you've got bitterness in your heart, maybe towards your children or maybe towards your parents. Hey, if something has been wronged, you felt wrong, or you've wronged someone else, don't you go to bed at night without making that right. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. God knows that if we let anger fester in our heart, it turns into bitterness. It can turn into resentment. And we then won't love our husbands or love our wives the way that we should. Why? Because then we've got a heart filled with anger, heart filled with bitterness. We're holding a grudge towards someone. And God says, you can't do that. Don't go to bed at night without making things right. A house divided cannot stand. You can go to bed at night, you know what? Divided house. Divided home. Divided in a lot of ways. Don't let it be that way. We're not to be divided. Husbands and wives are to be as one. Be as one. House divided cannot stand. Notice the next verse. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The thought continues. The sentence isn't done yet. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. God tells us when you do that, when you go to bed angry, you go to bed upset, and you won't make things wrong, you're giving place to the devil. Satan, who wants to divide your home. Satan, who wants to hurt your marriage. Satan, who is doing all he can in this generation to divide families and destroy marriages. You know what he does? He's wanting to get a foot in the door. He's wanting to get a little foot in the door to get into your home and get in between you and your husband, or get in between you and your wife, to try to cause division there, to try to separate you. Don't let the devil do that. Boy, you slam that door shut on the devil every night, and if there's just things that are not right, you make it right. You make it right. Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot better to go to bed at night happy and one with your husband or one with your wife than it is to go to bed angry and, you know, you're one direction and they're the other direction, or you made them go somewhere else. Hey, that is not the right way to go to bed at night. Angry and divided in your home. A house divided cannot stand. Cannot stand. He gives some solutions for that problem there. He talks about a problem in 26 and 27 and some things the devil is trying to do and how we can't let that happen. But down in verse 30, here's a solution to it. He says in verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." When we live that way, we're grieving the Spirit of God. He says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." He says, you put it away. Sometimes people live in a home or live a life where there's a lot of bitterness, and there's a lot of wrath, and there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of clamor. You know what clamor is? Loudness. Arguing. Fighting. He says, don't let it be that way. Put it away from you. Evil speaking. Again, when we're speaking evil, we're speaking unkind towards one another. Put it away from you. And he says, verse 32, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We cannot let things go where we become angry and we become bitter and we hold grudges. He says, you put that away from you. Don't let it be that there's evil speaking. Don't let it be that there's clamor. Don't let it be that there's strife and arguing. Put it away. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to forgive. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. Be willing to seek forgiveness. Why? Because a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. A marriage divided cannot stand. A home divided cannot stand. Let's not let that be the case. Let's submit ourselves one to another. Let's be forgiving one of another. Let's not hold grudges against one another. Turn with me over just a couple pages, if you would, to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3, and verse number 18. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, "Their wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord." As it is fit. It's appropriate. It's right. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Be not bitter against them. "Well, she didn't meet my needs." Well, you're supposed to be in it to meet her needs. You're not supposed to be selfish in this thing called marriage. We are to give ourselves for one another. We are to live for one another. So often people can be, "Well, he doesn't meet my needs. She doesn't meet my needs. You know what? When people start thinking that way too long, and they're focusing, and they're angry, and they're bitter, and they're not meeting my needs. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to, in that workplace, he wants in that grocery store, he wants someplace, you to see somebody that, "I think they might meet my needs. Well, I think maybe he could meet my needs. I think maybe she could meet my needs." Don't you listen to the devil. He is a liar and deceiver and just wants to wreck and destroy. Let us submit to one another. Let us love one another. Let's not be bitter against one another. A house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Turn back with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi. The very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 14. "Husbands and wives, let us be one. Let us be united. Don't let there be division in your home. Don't let there be division in your marriage. Families, let's not let there be division between us and our children. Let's make sure that we're keeping a relationship that is loving, that is close, where there is harmony and so on. Husbands, love and honor your wife. Wives, submit unto your husbands. Let's submit ourselves one to another. Let's forgive. Let's not hold grudges against one another. Let's not be bitter towards one another." Look at Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." Did anybody here make a covenant with their wife? We oftentimes call it some wedding vows. You took some vows. You made some promises. It's a covenant. Your companion, the wife of your youth. We'd maybe call her your sweetheart. Don't deal treacherously against her. Verse 15 says, "And did not he make one?" Why? The twain shall be one flesh. When God brings you together as a husband and wife, we are to be one. It says, "And did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." Isn't it interesting too in that verse when he's giving these this strong words where he says, "Take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." God made us, and God knows that a lot of men have a They got a lot of spirit. God knows that a lot of men struggle with ruling their spirit and controlling their spirit. It's not a lot of men in the world that are naturally very meek and very gentle, very quiet. Whether it's because of the way God made man, whether it's because men oftentimes have such a big ego, whatever it is, men have to work hard to guard our spirit, to rule our spirit. Men can sometimes want to become strong in their actions or strong in their words. And God says to men, "You take heed to your spirit. You guard your spirit. God's given you a wife. She's your companion. She was the wife of your youth. And don't you deal treacherously against her.
Don't you dare. As a man, if you think you're a man, the way that you take care of a woman is to take care of her gently. Why? Because she is very, very precious. You are to honor her. Never as a man should you ever raise your wife and hit your wife or strike your wife. That is dealing treacherously with her. We are to be gentle with our wives. Gentle with them. Let's not deal treacherously. Don't be a man that would be abusive or be violent towards your wife. You take care of her. You be gentle with her. And not just in your physical actions, but also in your words. God wants us to learn to be gentle. God wants us to learn to be meek. And if we're filled with the Spirit and controlled with the Spirit, then we can be. You know what? You can abuse your wife just as much with your words as you can physically. We can be abusive with our words, and we're not to do that. Don't you ever abuse her physically. Don't you ever abuse her verbally. Deal not treacherously with her. Let's learn to be gentle. Be gentle in your spirit. Be meek. Take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Oh, you got problems like that. Listen, that'll divide a home, won't it? Boy, that'll divide a marriage. You got someone that lives in fear of their husband or lives in fear of their wife because of how they treat them. Listen, that is a house divided, and a house divided cannot stand. People can live and try to put on good appearances around other people, but sadly, too many times, there are people who are not guarding their spirit. They're not gentle towards their wife. Let's not do that. Let's not deal treacherously. Let's be gentle, be loving. So many times I've tried to teach my boys, and especially BJ, as he's the oldest and 13 now, and you know, growing up, and the older they get, obviously, the more they aware of things, the more they're changing, right? They're constantly changing and growing, and I'm learning as a parent that so many times I've tried to convey him and take him back to some scriptures that teach him that, you know what, gentleness is manly. To be gentle is to be strong. You know, it's easy to him to want to be rough and tough and this and that. If you're going to be the kind of man God wants you to be, you need to be gentle. You need to be meek. And that can be a hard thing to learn and develop in your life. But with God's help, we can. Let's not be rough. Let's be not deal treacherously. Let's be gentle. Be gentle. Turn with me, if you would, just to one last passage of Scripture. Back to the New Testament, the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2. A house divided cannot stand. Homes divided cannot stand. Marriages divided cannot stand. Relationships divided cannot stand. As a husband and wife, the twain should be one flesh. You're called to be as one. Satan is working, doing all he can to destroy and to separate. He wants to divide homes. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to hurt relationships. Listen, don't let there be division in your home, in your marriage, or between you and your kids. Don't let it be. Don't let it be. Philippians here, chapter number 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says this, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." That sure sounds good. There's harmony there. There's unity there. And then he says in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind." In other words, humility. "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know why sometimes homes are divided? Marriages can be divided. Relationships can be divided. It's because of who people are living for. You know who too often we're living for? We're living for ourselves. I always remember something that a kindergarten teacher, grade one teacher, said when I was just a little boy. She talked about the three most important people oftentimes in our life: me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. You know what? Too often we live like that. The person we're concerned about is not our wife and our son and our daughter and my other two sons and my other three daughters. No, it's me, myself, and I. Too often we're living for ourselves. Too often we're focused on ourselves, and it's everything good for me, best for me. What can they do for me? God says we're not to live like that. Jesus Christ is our pattern, and Jesus Christ is our example. And that same mind, that same humility, that same servant's heart that was in Christ as he served others and lived for others and put others before himself. He says that's how we ought to live. If there's going to be a like-mindedness, if there's going to be a unity, if there's going to be a harmony in our homes and in our marriages, in our relationships, things can't be where there's strife between us. Things can't be a vainglory where things are all about me and myself. No, it cannot be that way. He says, nothing through strife, nothing through vainglory. In lowliness of mind, esteem the other better than ourselves. Do you in honor prefer one another? Are you putting your wife before yourself? Are you putting your husband before yourself? Are you putting your parents before yourself, children? Do we put others before ourselves? We ought to do that. We ought to do that. Look not every man on his own things, but also every man on the things of others. Look every man on the things of others. We're to serve one another. We're to serve one another. A house divided cannot stand. In the book of Mark, it said, Mark chapter 3 and verse 25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. You know what? Satan is working hard to divide. We see marriages being attacked all around us. The home and marriage is not as highly thought of today as it used to be. And it is so tragic when you see marriages breaking apart and families breaking apart and homes being destroyed. God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. It affects people. It affects the family. It affects that married couple. It affects their children. Let's protect our marriage. Let's guard our home. Let's guard our family. Satan wants to divide it. Don't let it be divided. Husbands and wives, realize that God has called you to be as one. And don't let there be division in your home. Don't let there be division in your marriage. Don't let there be division in a relationship between you and your children. Husbands, love and honor your wife. Wives, submit unto your husbands. Let's not let our speech in our home, as Peter talked about, be speech where it's railing for railing. It's mean words for mean words. It's comeback for comeback. It's a shot for shot. No, let's return blessing. Let's return kind words. Let's learn when to bite our tongue. My wife is good at biting her tongue. Me speak unkind and she knows to bite her tongue. Why? Because you know what? If a person says something back, you know what that does? Oh, it's war on. It can be one mean thing, one mean thing, one mean thing, one mean thing. Clamoring in the home. Let's not attack one another. We're to be one. We're not the enemy. Satan is the enemy trying to divide. Satan is the enemy that wants to destroy a marriage or destroy a family. Let's submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Let's husbands love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Is your wife, love for your wife, truly a sacrificial love? Or is it a self-serving love? A self-serving love is not true love at all. It's what can they do for me? I'll love them if they'll love me. I'll be good to them if they'll be good to me. I'll treat them this way if they do this for me. And sometimes people then can hold out. They hold out and they don't give themselves to their husband, or they don't give themselves to their wife, because we're living selfishly. We're to love. We're to submit. We're to forgive. We're to not to hold bitterness and anger in our heart, not to hold grudges. We're to forgive. Not deal treacherously with our wife, but be gentle with her and love her. We're all to serve one another. Put others first. Put that other before yourself. Listen, that'll help. That'll help your family. That'll help your marriage. A house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Let's pray together.